Welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio, the official podcast of APSATS, the Association of Partners of Sex Addict Trauma Specialists, hosted by Dr. Jake Porter. APSATS is a nonprofit organization providing professional training and compassionate support to partners affected by problematic sexual behavior and betrayal trauma. In each episode, Dr. Jake guides a conversation of enlightening insights and practical tools to empower those affected by sex addiction and betrayal trauma to use their voices and live their values. The mission of Betrayal Recovery Radio is to offer hope to those in need of healing and growth to those moving through grief. And now, here's your host, Dr. Jake Porter.
Welcome to another episode of Betrayal Recovery Radio. I am Dr. Jake Porter, your host. I'm excited that you're with me. Hey, if you are new to this podcast and you're not familiar with APSATS, the Association of Partners of Sex Addict Trauma Specialists, I hope that you will go to that website, APSATS, APSATS.org, and check out all that they have to offer. It's a wonderful training, their multidimensional partner trauma model for helping professionals. They also do trainings for religious leaders and lots of other trainings. Check that out on the website. But I bring it up now for this reason. Not only does APSATS do incredible training for coaches and clinicians who are working with those that have suffered with trauma, but APSATS is also a community. As much as any organization that I've ever been a part of, APSATS really fosters a sense of connection and family among its members. I say that because today's guest is someone that I met many years back when I went through the multidimensional partner trauma model of APSATS. And I met her when she was here in Houston, where I am. APSATS came and did a training here. I couldn't remember the year. It was either 2015 or 2016. And we have been friends ever since. I've been on her podcast. She's been on various things I've done, summits and stuff like that. And I'm talking about Sarah Schulting-Kranz. So if you don't know Sarah, you are in for a treat. The work she does is incredible because she's an incredible person. Sarah is an author, a keynote speaker, trauma and personal leadership authority. She's a wilderness guide and an expert in utilizing nature healing. And as a multiple trauma survivor herself, like millions of others in this world, Sarah suffered from severe complex PTSD that almost took her life, could have left her three children motherless. But she navigated through her anger and her pain and her grief while hiking 14,000-foot mountains and paddling 4 miles out into sea with the whales and the dolphins. And throughout this process, she found that the most important relationship you can have is the one within yourself. And she has taken that and she's turned that into a wonderful practice and that has led others into the Grand Canyon and out to sea and really into an encounter with themselves as they encounter nature. Now Sarah coaches clients, leadership executives, and organizations on the necessity and benefits of using nature for mental and emotional health. It's going to be a great conversation today as we talk about how nature can play a role, not just in the healing of trauma, but going beyond mere healing into the building of resiliency. Sarah is an expert in this. She's a lot of fun. She's got great stories. She's one who opens her heart and shares her own story. You're going to have a great time listening to this conversation with my good friend, Sarah. Hello, Sarah, my friend. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me on, Jake. It's such a pleasure.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this. I always enjoy my conversations with you. It seems like we get to take turns. You interview me, I interview you. We kind of ping pong back and forth. Yeah, but I like being in this seat. I like getting to pick your brain. And I'm really, really excited that you're here today to talk about trauma and resilience and healing and nature. All that good stuff.
My brain picked. I mean, like literally, is
no.
That
no.
I love doing this.
That's what makes it so fun. Yeah, that's what makes it so fun, and what makes doing it with you so fun. So that's great. Well, hey, before we even actually like jump into the meat of it, why don't you tell our listeners how did you get interested in this incredible work you do?
Yeah, it's thankful to one person who said to me through my own trauma recovery, and I'll dive into that. She said, you need to do something with this and help others because there is a gift that you are experiencing. And for me, it was the gift of nature. And it was really fast forwarding my own trauma recovery. And to kind of give people a little little backup on that and who I am, I've experienced quite a bit of trauma in my life. I experienced my first trauma at 17 when I experienced relational betrayal trauma, which I did not know it was that at the time. I was raped when I was 17. And then I had a horrible experience with the police where they wouldn't press charges. I had people that were stepping away from me in my life during that time, which is, you know, obviously extremely traumatic in and of itself. And then I healed through that. I was only 17 at the time, went to college, healed through all of that using nature as my primary source, which I didn't even realize it at the time. Hit the age of 40 and experienced my second round of trauma when I found out that my husband had been betraying me for 14 of our 17 years of marriage with men. And so I experienced a tremendous amount of relational and betrayal trauma at 40. I am 48 now, proudly saying so. My first year of trauma was really difficult. I mean, it was hell on earth. Let's just state it was hell on earth. And I couldn't figure out what was happening within me because I felt like my entire life had just been obliterated, destroyed, lost. I didn't know who I was. What was very interesting was how much of my trauma at 17 had been brought up again at the age of 40 because of it, right? Which we all know, you it resurfaces trauma from your past. The other thing though that was very interesting for me was that when I walked through the healing journey of my trauma at 17, there was still a lot of stuff I hadn't healed from, obviously, and that I hadn't uncovered, that did uncover at the age of 40. And what I went back to at the age of 40 was my nature healing that I had done at the age of 17. And so it was almost like I was walking through at the age of 40, two rounds of trauma healing, more from 17 that I hadn't addressed. And then also my trauma healing at 40. And that first year was really a lot of diving into self, diving into the power of nature, how it was helping me heal. And I didn't understand. I didn't even understand what was happening back then. When I was like, okay, I just know that it's working. Whatever it is,
something
it's working.
Good is happening.
Yeah. It feels really damn good. It feels so much better than the trauma that I have. That I am like living in at the same time. Right. And so I had that, I had a really good therapist. And I also had a support group. And so I realized the necessity of somebody who's been through it, community, right? Community,
right.
Community, and number three, the power of nature. And so about the age of 41, when I had my therapist say to me, you know, you should really do something with this. Like, you know, I know I've mentioned it to you in the past, but now I'm really seeing how this is guiding you through this and you've got something here. I used to be a teacher. I was an art teacher. Long story short, I created a business out of it because what I realized was not only is no healing journey alike, no two healing journeys are alike, no business is alike. People need different guides in their life, different forms of therapy, different forms of coaching. You got to find what works for you. And I knew that if it worked for me, there was something that I could utilize within that to help others. And so I started this business. I wrote a book that was published by HarperCollins in November of 2020. I did a TED Talk on forgiveness, and now I'm taking my work. I do land healing right now in the Grand Canyon, where we dive deep into self while guiding down into the Grand Canyon, into Mother Earth. And then we do water healing, which we're going to touch on the differences between the two. We do water healing in Alaska, where we kayak next to glaciers and we do a lot of cleansing of the heart and the soul in that way. It's beautiful. And now I'm taking this work into corporate. And so I'm in talks with some really cool places, really big organizations, and also doing stage work and like really, you know, speaking, sharing from stage. And so if that does anything, let that alone put an exclamation mark on your trauma that you can journey through it, recover, and not only survive, but thrive from everything that you've gone through.
And I just have to say, it has been so fun watching your ascent. You know, I mean, we met at the APSATS training,
we
in the
did.
Multidimensional Partner Trauma Training. I don't even know what year was that, like 2015 or so, something like that.
So
2015 ish. And so, you know, just watching how you've grown and how you have taken this passion and poured yourself out to help others and how that has been honored to flourish into this incredible work you're doing now. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking to my son about this last night because he was asking me about different things. And, you know, I'm really honest. I have three boys and I'm really honest with them about my journey as well. Age appropriate, of course. And, you know, I was telling him, it's really interesting how when I was going through the journey, how many people in the early part of my recovery were putting me, almost like labeling me as the codependent, labeling me as the person, as the cause, as the effect. I was being labeled as everything but the person who needed help.
Wow.
And so and I told my son this last night, I said it was so difficult for me as a mom to ask for help, which was really hard for me. It's hard for a lot of people that go through this. Yeah. And then to not receive it and to be turned away and to be told, oh, you're the crazy one, which literally I was told I was the crazy one. And it just, it broke. Now looking back, it breaks my heart for that woman that was walking through the journey back then, which is also why today, and I explained this to them, this is why I'm so deliberate and will share my story with anyone, because I don't want people to feel alone.
Yeah.
We suffer alone. Oops, sorry. Oh, that's my mom. I'm so sorry.
Hey, we love our moms. It's okay.
You gotta love moms. You gotta love moms. And I love my mom. My mom's amazing. And, you know, we suffer alone. We heal alone. And the thing that I don't want to do is to not thrive. I don't want to thrive alone. I want people to be able to walk the journey with me.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That would be my mother. She's the most amazing person on earth, let me tell you.
Well, that's good.
Here's
to mom.
Here's
to mom. let's dive in now. You know, lots of people talk about trauma. We talk about trauma a lot on this podcast and in the APSATS community. But I want to know, how would you define it? You know, everybody's got their own ways of talking about this same thing. And it's like, you know, multifaceted, right? It's one thing. So as you look at it through your, show and tell here at the Trail Recovery Radio podcast. So, so how would you define it? How would you describe it? What is trauma?
So trauma to me is, first of all, you can't put it in a box, right? And so it affects everybody very differently. We have traumas. We've all heard the phrase about we have little T traumas. We have big T traumas. For me, experiencing trauma was a state of feeling literally like, because I'm a nature girl, it felt like my entire world crumbled in a moment. It was like the earthquake that hit, but didn't stop shaking. And then after the earthquake hit, there were aftershocks. And I tell people I'm almost 9 years out and I still experience aftershocks. The difference is this, though. The aftershocks are never as large and the recovery is far more quickly. I know what to do, right?
Say that again. Say that again.
The shocks are not nearly as large, right? The aftershocks are not nearly as large and the recovery is far more quick. It's much more quickly. Because
there's
hope. Because here's the thing is that when you, the more that you work through your trauma recovery, the more that you heal, the more that you grow, the more tools you have in your tool belt, and the more quickly that you know how to resurrect from those triggers that happen, because they still happen. They still happen to me. And not only that, but when I'm going through the trigger, when I'm having an aftershock, I know what to do. It's kind of like the first time that you go through, I remember I survived a tornado, right? And what happened when, and my house, we were on top of a hill where I grew up, and this tornado was coming straight at our home. And this is a true story. And I remember all of us standing at the big bay window looking out and not knowing what to do. And you're literally seeing this tornado coming right at you. And you're like, we didn't know what to do. Like, what do you do? Even though we had had, we were told, you know, earlier in our life, like, hey, listen, if anything happens, this is, you're trained for it, because I'm lived in Wisconsin in the Midwest. But in the moment, we didn't know what to do. And so we ran downstairs, we got shelter, yet we didn't do it in the moment, right? And so it took us a little bit. It was like we had to go through our own fight, flight, freeze, like, what do we do moment.
Right.
And the more that the aftershocks happen for me now in my life, the more quickly I know, okay, Sarah, hand on your heart, breathe, know that you're safe, know that you have the, you have everything within you, ground yourself. And it just becomes a much more, it's like a daily way of living.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So I wonder if you experience this too, as you work with people who've been through trauma. A lot of times I'm working with folks, they don't want to call what they've been through trauma. That wasn't an earthquake. You know, the wind was blowing really hard, or, you know, or no, that wasn't the ground. I was jumping up and down, or, you know, like. There's
right.
something about, or they minimize it, right? Like,
oh,
okay, it was a little tremor, but it wasn't that bad, you know, compared to what they went through.
Right.
Why does just owning it, just speaking your truth, actually help heal your trauma, right? Why does owning your trauma help you heal it?
Well, so there are three words that I live by. Number one is truth. Number one is inspiration. Number two is inspiration. Number three is hope. I talk about it in my book. Those are the three words that I have lived through in my trauma recovery. When you give ownership to it, when you can own it, you can honor it. Mm. You can heal from it. You can forgive yourself if you need to. You can forgive others if you need to. You can release the pain that is associated with the difficult experiences that we went through. We can heal and we can grow. You can't grow from something, truly be able to grow from something, if you're not going to be truthful and honest and honor what you've been through. And so by minimizing it, we're literally minimizing the learning and the growing that comes with the difficult experience, right? And so it's important for us to be truthful and honest, that we can bring it to light, take it out from underneath that rug and say, yes, this happened to me. And here's the other thing. You're a teacher for others. You're not only the learner. And
that's
so
good.
when you can share your truth and be the teacher from others, you're also growing, you're further growing from the experiences that you have lived through.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Okay, let's talk nature. Because when I think about you, I think about the Grand Canyon. That's how it works. In my head, Sarah, Grand Canyon. So yeah, that's how it works in my head. So what's so healing about nature?
So, you know it's, oh gosh. So when we experience awe and wonder, it's one of the most important emotions that we can feel to step outside of
Absolutely.
Our own PTSD. So it literally slows the frontal part of our brain, the executive part of our brain, which we, as you know, being the trauma brain expert, and everybody's listened to you, I'm sure, if they haven't, go do it. That part of our brain is working all the time. And so getting ourselves out into nature, it slows the frontal lobe. It allows the back part of our brain, the cerebellum, to rise, which is where we have creativity, which is where we experience that awe, that wonder, that soft fascination of nature, where we're not thrown into the difficult moments, like the hard moments that we live through, right? That's where we tend to ruminate, and it pulls us out of the story and allows us to actually sit in what is possible. Mm. That's the best way that I can explain the power of nature. Now, it also allows us to, it lessens anxiety. There's so many other things that it does as well, right? And so we ground ourselves to Mother Earth, and we feel calm. We feel present. We feel in the moment. We get to experience things like witnessing ants doing their thing, right? Sitting in wonder of like, how many million ants live in community with each other, right? And they're not fighting. They're just doing their thing. building whatever it is that they're building. And so it gets us out of the story and lets us sit in the story of something so much larger than ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. Now you mentioned something earlier that you're about to teach me something here. You mentioned a difference between water healing and land healing. So teach us about this, please.
Oh, it's so cool. So when I'm grounding people in the earth, with the earth, the best thing, one of the best things that we can do is actually walk on the earth without our shoes on.
Bare feet.
Right? Bare feet. And we all know about it's like you're rooted to the earth in a different kind of way. Okay. You can actually open your senses to everything. All of your senses begin to open, and we don't live in constriction. We live in openness and surrendering. And so being grounded to the earth is very different than water healing, because water is definitely more cleansing. So when I'm taking people up in Alaska, the best way that I can explain it and keeping it very simple is that it's more of a celebration. You're more of a cleansing of your heart and your soul through the power, the force of water versus through the power force of, or the grounding of the earth. Okay. And so, by the way, did you know that the sound of the ocean wave is one of the most harmonic sounds, the most healing harmonic sounds that you can listen to calm yourself?
I believe
it. So just like even just simply listening to the sounds of waves is healing in and of itself.
Yeah.
Soft fascination part.
That's amazing. It's to me, I've always thought about breath work when I hear the sound of a wave. I want to sync up with it, and so that makes, I didn't know that, but it intuitively feels true to me. Wow. That is fascinating.
It's very, and we could go into facts after facts, after facts, but that's keeping it very simple. That's the most simple way of putting it.
Okay. Okay. So beautiful. Now you also talk a lot about resiliency, right?
Yeah.
And some people, they hear that word and trauma doesn't seem to fit with it, right? Like they're two different things, but you and I know they're actually intimately connected. So can you speak to that? What's the relationship there?
Yeah. One of the things that when I was talking to my team about corporate work, and I said, what do you think that needs to be spoken on today in not only the world, but in corporate work? And they said emotional and mental resiliency, because it's something that we think of mental resiliency, but we don't think about emotional. And we think about physical resiliency, but we don't think about emotional resiliency. And my team and I, we're really playing with that one of why don't we think about emotional resiliency? And one of the things that I have found has been super helpful in my life, in my own trauma recovery, is actually stepping into how resilient that we can be as humans. And it doesn't mean only, and owning it. Like actually owning it. How many times have you been hurt, like literally physically, emotionally, mentally hurt, and you've bounced back even as a child? And so if we can start to own the moments within our life where we have been resilient, where we have actually bounced back from the things that have hurt us, that have been difficult in our life, when we start to own the little things, we actually start to own the big things. And so resiliency is really important for us, because the more that we do step into our resiliency and actually own, like, gosh, I lived through that. But see, this also goes back to truth. If you're not going to be honest with your traumas, how can you be resilient from them as well?
Ooh.
That's why truth is so important.
Right. Right. It's like if you don't name it, if you're not willing to face it and name it and call it what it is, you're always just pretending it's not there. Which means you can't speak to it. You can't slay that dragon if you're not willing to face it. Yeah.
No. And so, and taking it to even to that next step is when I'm working with clients, it's, we have the space of victim, we have the space of survivor, and then we have the space of thriver. And so a lot of people get really comfortable with, the victim space, we all know what that's like. That's difficult. You get into that survivor space, and a lot of times people get really comfortable with that. And they're like, I'm a survivor. And for me, resiliency is a practice. It's not just like, oh, I survived that, I'm good. It's a practice every day of let's see what else I can step into. Because when you step from that survivor space to that thriver space, you're not only healing from and surviving from your traumas, but you're using your traumas and your difficult life experiences to serve others. Mm. And when you are serving others, you are serving yourself.
Okay, you got to slow down. There's too much good stuff coming too fast. Okay, so I'm going to back you up. I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot. We didn't talk about this.
No, it's okay. I love on the spot.
Imagine, yes. Let's pick that brain. So imagine right now there are listeners, men, women, who they're just coming out of the discovery of betrayal, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they're a month, 2-3 months in, you know, maybe they've just gotten their disclosure or whatever, right? And they're looking at the pieces that are just shattered before them. And you're saying, I think, so tweak this if it isn't right.
Okay.
You're saying basically, number one, you've got to look at the pieces, all those broken pieces. And number two, you're also saying, though, think back to other times, hard times in your life, mm-hmm. that you survived and thrived, that you've actually come out stronger, sharper, more fruitful, something like that. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So lead them through, like their like brain can't go beyond, you know, this has happened.
Right.
How do you walk them into their past to survey their history?
So if I may use my experience,
please.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from my experience, and I'm actually, let's not use my trauma at 17, because a lot of people haven't had something like that happen. For me, I went back to my trauma at 17 and went, okay, you've been here before. You can do this again. You've walked through this once before. You can walk through this again.
Right.
Let's take it back though to a different moment in my life, which would be, okay, I was just sharing this with somebody recently. When I was a little girl, I wanted to go fishing with my family, and I'm the only girl in the family, right? I've got my grandfather standing there, my cousins, all male cousins, I have two brothers, it was only my brothers, my dad, my uncle, right? All the boys, and then me. And it was my idea to go fishing. And I said to them, they all said, hey, I remember it like it was yesterday, outside my grandfather's, outside of his garage. And he's down on the farm. And he said, what do you guys want to do today? And I'm like, I want to go fishing. And he was like, that's a great idea. And all the boys grabbed their things and they went to go fishing, and I didn't get to go.
And left you.
And they were going to leave me. And I was like, wait a second, but it was my idea. That was a traumatic moment for me, by the way. Okay. Mm. Let's think about, like, and this is where we don't, was it a big T trauma? No, but it was a very traumatic moment for me as a little girl, clearly, because I remember it today, like it's clear as yesterday. Right.
Yeah, what were the messages? What were the messages for you in that moment?
Yeah. I mean, think about that. Like, I wasn't good enough. I was the girl. Oh, she's got an idea, but we're going to steal it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many messages that were given to me in that moment, unbeknownst to them. They're obviously, they didn't mean it in that way. And I know that. And it hurt. And so me being able to claim that moment and use my voice and say, hey, but that was my idea to go fishing. Why aren't I going fishing? Right. And so using that moment as a moment of resiliency, where I used my voice, where it was my idea. And I used my voice to say, hey, I'm worthy of going fishing too. And so that was a resilient moment in my life. And we have those throughout our entire life. If it's in the day that we stood up for somebody when we were in, I don't know, first grade, and we stood up for the kid that was next to us that was getting bullied, and we said, that's not okay, right? Using your voice back then, owning your truth. The day that somebody lied to us and we stood up to them and said, hey, why would you lie to me? So we have moments in our life, but we dismiss our resiliency. And so being able to sit there and say, where were those moments in my life that I can tap into and say, okay, I'm an adult and I've been somewhere as a child. I've been somewhere as a teenager. I've been somewhere as a young adult where I had to step up and say, that wasn't okay. Where can I use that resiliency in my trauma that I'm experiencing right now?
That's so good. And so what might someone do to think through that? Maybe journal, look through pictures from childhood? Like, I mean, how could someone get started sort of collecting those stories about themselves?
You know, we do when I'm guiding people on trips, when I'm guiding people on retreats, we bring them forward. So we literally bring them forward. And so I always have the first person that goes into, I never say who it's going to be. When we get to the top of the canyon and we take that first step down, I say, okay, you're guiding us. And for the last trip that I ran, the last retreat that I ran, it was a woman who had been raped. And I said, you're going to pull that girl with you right now. And that step that you're taking together into this canyon. And you're not only healing her, but you're allowing her to be heard, seen. You're allowing her to show up. And you're going to step into the resiliency and the beauty of that girl that has gotten you to her, where you are right now in this moment. And so allowing that inner child that has been through difficulties in life to literally walk beside us every moment, waking up in the morning, putting your hand over your heart and calling them forth and saying, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for your resiliency back then. And let's work through this together right now. Oh, you can journal. Good. It's hard for people to journal when they've been traumatized. It was hard for me. I know it was really hard for me to write. And then I wrote a book. It's like, what? Or just like, it is kind of funny. Or just simply speaking into your phone. That helps too. I did a lot of recording in my phone, especially when I was out on the ocean paddling or when I was on a trail, I would just press record on my phone and start speaking to that younger version of self, and have them come forth with me in the moment.
Wow. That's good. Now, earlier we talked about nature as it relates to healing from trauma, but resiliency is really, it's kind of a step beyond that. I think it's an outgrowth and a continuation of the healing process, but it's really beyond just mere healing. So how does nature actually guide you into resiliency beyond just the healing? I guess, as you were saying, beyond just victim to survivor, but into thriving.
Into thriving. Well, so I always, what I love about being out in nature is that you're outside of the box of the home. You're outside of the room that we live in, right? Or of the car that we drive in. And your body is actually going through the resiliency, going through the motion of being in nature as well. And so even if it's something as little as, you know, quote, little, as lying on the grass, looking up in the clouds and allowing yourself to see something differently, you will start to have a different story within yourself of whatever it is that you're walking through in this moment, right? So nature is a great space for us to open up our heart and our soul and our mind and our body to something different than what we're in right now at this moment.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Cool. Okay. So going to go a little different direction now because, again, you know, we've got a lot of listeners here. They want healing. They don't, you know, a lot of them, the reality is for betrayed partners, and you know this, a lot of times the resources go to helping the one with the addiction, the one who did the betraying, right? So they're left to kind of do their best.
Yeah.
Am I right?
That would have been me.
Okay.
Yes.
So could you give them just, what are some things they can do on their own to find communities so they're not on their own, to reconnect with nature, to maximize their time in nature in a way that will be for their healing and their resilience?
So, you know, first of all, thank you for bringing this up, the fact that the partners so often get dismissed.
Sure.
Because, was I dismissed.
It's a reality.
It's like the car crash happens, but they don't take the person that actually is wounded and left behind. And we're supposed to fend for ourselves, which is really difficult. And so, you know, one of the things that I tell people all the time is just get outside, just go outside, take 5 minutes and go outside. It's so simple. It's so simple and it's dismissed so often. We are really good self-sabotagers, by the way. We're really good at doing everything but the one thing that we actually need to do because we're afraid of what might happen if we actually go and experience what's healthy for us. Truly, you know, and just going outside without our shoes on and, you know, plopping ourselves down on the grass around the sand and looking up into the sky and giving ourselves a few moments of breath with our heart, which is your heart, not mine, not anybody else's. And so acknowledge and love that thing that is beating within you and connecting with your inner soul and your inner purpose, whatever that purpose is down the long run, but really the purpose of just the moment, which is for you to be here. Just simply be here. That's it.
So when walk outside, shoes off, sit on the ground, look in the sky, breathe.
Put your hand over your heartbeat. Feel your heartbeat and allow yourself to be grounded in the moment. Just trust me. It's really amazing what that will do.
I want to back you up on that because I can just imagine listeners right now, they're like, oh yeah, sure. But I'm going to back Sarah up on this. Like if you were to make a practice of doing that regularly, what that potentially could do for the healing of the whole nervous system it's radical. I'm going to use the word
radical. It's you know what? Can we just have a challenge with everybody that's listening right now?
Sure.
I challenge them. Every single person that is listening to this right now, go do it for 1 week, 7 days straight. I'm pretty sure you can find five minutes out of every single day to go outside and just do this. And I promise you, it will change. But here's the challenge. Okay, that's the challenge. But the step from that challenge is then to go and email myself, and just let us know how it works. Because
we'll get your email again at the end, but give it to him right now so it's with this part of the show.
Absolutely. Sarah, S-A-R-A, at Sarah, S-A-R-A, Schulting, S-C-H-U-L-T-I-N-G, Kranz, K-R-A-N-Z, Sarah at Sarah Schulting Kranz, and .com. Sorry, I needed .com.
.com.
Literally, or go find me on social media and just plop it just send me a DM or something. And I promise you. How do I know? Yeah. Because that's what I did. That's what I did at 17. Which didn't know what was working, but it was working.
And it's what you're still doing today, not just for yourself, but now leading all these people through it.
So you know what I'm doing right now, as I'm talking to you, literally holding onto a rock, right? This is my grounding. And I'm holding onto a rock, a stone that is from one of my trips that I take every year. And that is my way of grounding. And it's just, it's that continual, like opening of the senses and feeling into the moments.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I'm going to add something I just learned within the last few months about the power of going outside during times of transition. So between twilight and daybreak, you know, like that time. And then in the evening, as night is falling, apparently the light, the natural light in those times, transitioning from night to day and day to night, taking that into our bodies through our eyes, into our nervous system through our eyes, is incredible for restoring us our natural rhythms and that sort of thing. So maybe do your 5 minutes during one of those times, if possible.
Do you know, we go, when I'm guiding in the canyon, I tell everybody there's one non-negotiable. And that is that we will watch the sunrise down inside the canyon 2 miles in together. So we always start in the dark and 2 miles in, we watch the sunrise. And it's a celebration for us.
Wow.
It's a celebration of the journey. It's a celebration of our body, our mind, our soul, our spirit. And it's a celebration of our life, even the most difficult things that we've lived through.
I love it. Now, again, I'm going to go backwards because you're just spitting so much good stuff. I've got to revisit some of it. You talked about how that sometimes people self-sabotage their trauma recovery. Yeah, now, you named one way. You said, sure, Yeah, right. But you said, so what you said there was not doing the simple thing that's right in front of them. Are there other ways that people self-sabotage their own trauma recovery? What might some of those be? Yeah. Let's hear it.
Goodness sakes.
Call me out.
Okay. We're really good at starting something and then stopping. We're really good at experiencing a little bit of what tastes really good, but really weird because we only know toxic and then we stop.
So it's like uncomfortable
because it's uncomfortable. We become really, really comfortable with how to control, quote, control, which is actually very, very unhealthy and unsafe for us. But we become safe with it because that's what we know. And so we stay there. And so to experience peace without chaos is really weird. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then we start and we're like, okay, this doesn't feel good. This feels really weird when actually it is actually very healthy for us. And so we escape. We numb. We might numb. We might go to food. We might go to
shopping,
drugs, alcohol shopping. I mean, anything, like anything other than what we really need to do, which is to feel and heal. Because you can't heal from anything unless you feel it. So that's another one. There's so many. We self-sabotage our healthy relationships by starting fights. And so,
No. Yeah.
We might sabotage somebody else's recovery journey by starting a fight.
Wow.
It's like, do you really want them to change? Because if we're going to get honest, right? Because by somebody else changing, that means that we now have to change as well.
Yeah.
And so we might sabotage that manipulation, gaslighting, all sorts of different toxic ways of being in relationship. Because if they change too much, that means that I'm going to have to do the work too.
Oh, I'm feeling all of those. You know, one more that came to my mind as I'm listening to you, it's kind of like the opposite of, oh, this is feeling good and that feels bad that it feels good, is, oh, this feels good, it's good enough, right? Like yes. I get a little bit of relief and I think, oh, it can't possibly be better than this. And then I quit doing work. Like I settle for this much relief.
Yes. Because it's better than what it was.
Right.
And so that's also the starting and the stopping. It's kind of like when people ask me, well, you don't have a coach anymore. I'm like, you kidding me? Of course I do. Of course I keep doing the work. Of course I wake up every morning and I say, I'm going to practice forgiveness. Of course every year I go on the trail by myself or with a friend for at least 9 days. Why? Because I keep doing the work because I don't want to stop and all of a sudden relapse back into my space of what was very unhealthy. I just want to keep moving forward. That's the thriving space. It's fascinating how much that people do self-sabotage. We think we need to be perfect. We do the comparisonitis thing where it's like, oh my gosh, they're there. And how much work is it going to be for me to get there? Can I really do that?
Right. Oh,
and so we automatically become afraid of our success. We become afraid of our healthy. We become afraid of where we might fail, not realizing that failure is actually a form of learning and growing and healing because you are human. You're meant to be imperfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I just noticed that I think at least 3 times now you've talked about forgiveness.
Yeah.
Okay. So at least 3 times now you've talked about forgiveness. And I want to acknowledge that, like, This is a big sensitive subject for a lot of people in our audience, right? I mean, they've been betrayed. They have been hurt. They have been done wrong. I mean, like, no question. And so sometimes the subject of forgiveness, people can get a little prickly, a little resistant. And I validate that. I mean, it makes sense to me. And I want to honor that. But I know, because I know you and I know a lot of your story, what an incredibly powerful thing it has been for you to kind of wrap your arms around this thing called forgiveness. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. You know, my mom said to me recently, she said, your story, she said, don't stop doing what you're doing because your story is helping your family as well. And that was really powerful to hear that.
Wow.
Yeah. She's a remarkable woman. In fact, it's my mom's handwriting. I have the tattoo "Forgive" on my on my arm, and I have it on the outside of my arm, outside of my wrist, so that when people see it, a lot of people question what it says. And I'm like, oh, it's forgive. It's the word "forgive" in my mom's handwriting, and it starts the discussion about forgiveness.
Wow.
Yeah, and so forgiveness, when I was really diving into it, I didn't realize that that was also a really big tool of my healing until I was asked by the producer of the TED Talk, well, how do you define forgiveness? And I said, well, it's the process. It's not forgetting. It's not condoning. It's not pardoning. It's the process of honoring what I've lived through and then releasing the pain and bringing in peace and love and acceptance of the higher self who has actually walked through it. And she looked it up in the dictionary and it said, it's the process. It's to forgive is to forget. And I was blown away. And what I realized is how society looks at forgiveness and why do we get prickly around it? We get prickly around it because we think that by forgiving somebody, we're telling them it was okay. And
that's
absolutely not what forgiveness is
about. If it were okay, it wouldn't need to be forgiven.
Exactly. And not only that, but how can we, through the process of forgiveness, you're literally honoring the difficult experiences that you've lived through. You're not saying it's okay. Mm. You're honoring it by saying, I am no longer going to hold on to the pain, the resentment, the sadness, the toxicity, the anger, the rage, which I felt all of those. And I'm no longer going to hold on to that because it's not mine to hold. I've learned from it. I'm honoring it. I've learned from it. I'm growing from it. I'm choosing differently. And now I'm going to bring in my peace, my freedom, and my self-love, self-worthiness in terms of stepping into my most thriving human that was placed on this earth to become, right?
Wow.
And so there's this, the forgiveness piece too, what's interesting is we're so quick to forgive others before we are to sit with ourselves and to forgive ourselves for what got us into this place in the very first place, what got us here. Right. And so for myself, I had to do a lot of self-forgiveness work around the moments where the red flags popped up in my relationship. But I chose to listen to him over my own inner voice. And so there are moments of self-forgiveness that we can sit with within our relational and betrayal trauma that really will empower you to become the survivor, to step out of victim, to become the survivor, to become the thriver that you ultimately have the power to become. Mm. And so self-forgiveness is a very empowering tool that so many people don't look at. They don't recognize, they just get really afraid of it because it's like, well, then I need to forget that it happened. Not at all. Absolutely. Own that. Own what you have lived through, right? And the fact that you are such an incredible human being to be placed on this earth right now. And I am so sorry that you're living through this because I know it sucks. It sucks so bad. And through that journey of self-forgiveness, I promise you, you will find that inner strength and that power to walk through the journey that you're on.
Wow. Sarah, let's say someone's listening. They're like, I'm not ready to dive headfirst into this forgiveness thing, whether it's themselves or someone else. What's a toe in the water step?
Exactly. The toe in the water.
What might that look like?
The toe in the water step. You don't do it until you're ready for it, because the other space of it is if you jump in. There's always that yes and moment, right? You gotta take the step into something that's uncomfortable to see if you're ready for it as well, right? Mm-hmm. So if you keep saying, pushing it off and pushing it off and pushing it off and not trying it, you're just gonna keep pushing it off and not trying it. That's the self-sabotage piece too, right? The very first though, toe in the water, is getting truthful and honest with where you're at. And that goes back to truth. Through the truth, you will find moments of inspiration and you will find your moments of hope, but you have to step into the truth first.
Oh, that's so good. Sarah, thank you for this conversation.
Well, thank you for having me.
I just know so many people, they're going to be helped. They're going to be encouraged. going to be blessed by this. Thank you for what you do. And it's so, you know, inspiring.
Thank you. It's been a remarkable journey. And I don't know if you know this, but did you know that we're ending our Grand Canyon retreats? Did you know that? Yeah, I know.
It kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
Breaks mine too. And you know, here's the thing that I want to say to everybody though. And this is where when you started this and you said, it's been fun to witness, it's been fun to watch. You know, it's scary sometimes, right? Like closing doors and opening windows and climbing through can be a little scary. And that space of continuing on. I always also say the good Lord, the universe, spirit works in mysterious ways. We don't always know why things happen. And until we do, until we do. And, you know, I've been wanting to get into corporate work and to do speaking engagements. And then I found out in February that they were closing services at the bottom of the Grand Canyon beginning of May of 2023, because they're redoing the water pipeline throughout the entire Grand Canyon. And so I stood there with the people at the Grand Canyon. They were telling me this and I just started laughing. And I said, of course they would shut services down and push me out of my nest. Because Sarah would never have said that she would quit. She would just kept on that, right? And so you have to listen and you have to have awareness of what is being told to you, what is being drawn to your heart and soul. And so, they're closing services for at least a year. So we have retreats. We're running one this July and then over Thanksgiving of this year and then two in January. And then we are unfortunately stopping and fortunately stepping into other pivoting and stepping into other spaces. So it's exciting.
What a beautiful, I want everyone listening, just know that was like a textbook example of the power of how you frame something, right? Because you could have heard that news, Sarah, and you could have been like, this is my business. This is, you know, what my jam, my passion, why is this taken away from me? But you knew better. You knew better.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where, I've learned it's a lot of awareness from above. You know, you have to have a lot of faith and a lot of hope, and you just know, like, for me, it was, I remember sitting there and I shed a tear. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I love these. Like, I mean, every group that I take down, there's so much transformation and healing, and it's so cool to witness people going through their journeys and transforming their life. And then at the same time, I'm like, and it's transformed mine. And what it's saying is you got to keep moving through. Like there's other things. And so one chapter closes, ends, and you got another chapter to step into and to write. And so that's the gift of your traumas right there.
Oh, so good. Okay. If people want to get a hold of you, where do they find you, Sarah?
Yeah. You can find me through my website, sarahschultenkranz.com. Email me, Sarah@sarahschultenkranz.com. I'm on Instagram, Sarah Schulten Kranz. I'm in Facebook. You can find my book on my website. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all bookstores, actually. And and then what else? There's my TED Talk. You can find that on YouTube, Sarah Schulten Kranz, All About Forgiveness. And that's on my website as well.
And we're going to have all those links handy for people right down below. So check that out. Sarah, my friend, I love being with you. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you. You're amazing. I love being with you as well. Thank you for having me on.
All right, take care. You've been listening to Betrayal Recovery Radio, the official podcast of AppSats. If you've received help or hope from this episode, I encourage you to share it with someone you know. If you've not yet done so, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platform. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Jake Porter, and you can always email me directly at jake@appsats.org. I'd love to hear your ideas, questions, or comments about the show. Until next time, keep choosing to use your voice and live your values. It's good for you and for this world.